We've been talking this month about the ordinary people that our kids learned about in Vacation Bible School. So we talked about Daniel and taking a stand when the law said he was not allowed to pray except to the king, and what that outcome was, and they learned about that. And then Esther, who is just an amazing story, and that entire book is fantastic. When she had to determine to take a stand. Ordinary people that do extraordinary things because of an extraordinary God. And the next 2 months, August and September, we're talking about one of the most ordinary people you would ever want to meet in your life, Gideon, who God called a mighty warrior. And Gideon leads with what us in our Tuesday morning Bible study would appreciate. He sticks his butt in God's face. You're a mighty warrior, but, right? And we do that all the time. But we're going to talk about ordinary Gideon and how he relates to us. But today, it's story time with Jesus. If we didn't have the parables, how boring would the Gospels be? The parables are amazing. The parables are about taking the God things and introducing them into our ordinary life so that we can see extraordinary things happen, right? There's stories that he would tell about farmers and about kids who wish their parents were dead. Amen? Right? You know, those kinds of stories. I was told one time, way, way back when I first started, that I needed to quit telling stories in my sermon. And I asked the person, I said, what do you want me to do instead of telling stories? And they said, preach like Jesus did. Well, Jesus told stories. No, he didn't. He told parables. Okay, right? I'm not going to stop telling stories because that's what Jesus did. Speaking of stories, Wednesday morning, pray. Ian goes for his driving test. I have been in the car with that boy when he's practicing maneuverability. And I tell him every single time, I'm going to get some of your teammates to stand where the cones are, because then maybe you won't run over them. He hits all of them. And I'm like, you know you're not going to pass, right? Well, it's okay if I just graze it. Okay, bro. You go with that. Let's see how that works. And it drives him nuts when I'm sitting there and I go, bro, you're going to hit that one behind us. You can't see it. Boom. Can't go forward that way. So, sidewalks will not be safe. But he is practicing over and over and over again. Why? Why practice over and over and over again? So that by the time he takes that test, it's just muscle memory. Right? It's easier to do it. And that's why Jesus told stories. Jesus tells stories so that when it comes time to apply the scriptures, it's easier for us to do it. Right? And that's why he told stories. That's why he's going to tell a story today. Because then it just simply becomes, you know, not just repetitive, it becomes second nature. Why did you come to church this morning, by the way, for your conditioning? Why? Have you not heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Good golly, there's Good Samaritan laws. It's impacted our society so much as Americans, right? You've heard that story before. Why in the world? I've preached it, I've taught it. Why in the, by the way, every single point of the sermon was in the video. See everybody! Right? And I picked the video. I'm sitting there going, oh, all right, so leave if you want to. Why do we do it again? Why come every single Sunday? Why do we do it? Is it to have that dumb greeting time that lasts 45 minutes? What is wrong with you people? Other pastors say, man, our greeting time is so boring and dumb. Nobody wants to get up. And I'm like, I can't shut them up, right? Because it's an important thing to us. To interconnect and see each other. To just do the offering and communion again? The offering, yes. But I'm seriously preaching on this for the gazillionth time. Here's why. Until it becomes second nature in us. And just to warn you, the pastor is going to be gone later in the week. to go kidnap his grandkids and bring them back to Ohio for 3 weeks. Oh, I got 3 weeks to brainwash them kids, right? Got 3 weeks. So, I'm going to be gone. And so I know for a fact the pastor has planned ahead on the church Facebook page, and he paused before he hit the Thursday one. Because looking at this concept in print and what it means for us in America today would have got me lynched about 10 years ago. And it may yet today, but it's weird to see it in print, this idea of being a good Samaritan. We're going to do it until it becomes second nature to care for others besides ourselves. Otherwise, we become a dead and dying church that only cares about one thing, comfort. I like coming here because it's comfortable. And there's an aspect of that. We need it. The world is chaotic. Our families are chaotic. We need a place where we can come and go, whew. But we also need a place that takes us thinking that God thinks the way that we do and turns it into we will think the way that God does, right? So let's learn about the Good Samaritan for the gazillionth time. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10. Luke is toward the last part of your Bible. There's a bunch of guys' names right in a row. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Fred. Really? So here's what I want to see starting in verse 25. When we are challenged by God to help others that don't look like us, sound like us, believe like us, we often like to prove to God that what we know is better than what he knows. Let's be careful what we're trying to prove to God. Verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law, woo, lawyers. I don't know if anybody in here is a lawyer or wants to be a lawyer or just watches Law and Order and thinks that you are, right? Because seriously, we were flipping through channels the other day and we stopped on Matlock. Come on, old people, right? Matlock. Indiana said, man, remember when we used to watch that every time for lunch? Because we're old, you know? And we begin to think we know the law. So here's this bro, an expert in church law, stood up to do what? Test Jesus. Please do not mistake what's going on here. This is not a genuine question. This is not somebody wanting to know genuinely, how do I grow closer to God? What is it that I can do to love my neighbor, right? This dude's messing around. By the way, it's really easy to spot. Stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, they say Savior, Messiah, Lord. He's already knocking Jesus down a peg or two. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is that annoying guy that answers a question with a question. Have you ever met a jerk like that? As my Sunday school class laughs, as my small groups go, oh, for crying out loud. What is written in the law? Marty Payne. He replied, how do you read it? Not what does it say. What do you think it says? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever heard those two things before? Every Sunday. Because the annoying pastor gets up and says, that's what everything is all about, loving God and loving others, right? He got it right. That's pretty good. So Jesus says in verse 28, nailed it, bro. You answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. Nuts. What was he trying to do to Jesus? Testing. Jesus goes, hey, good job. End of conversation. Look at the next verse. Verse 29. Because we don't like it when we're trying to test God and he tells us the way it is. We want to be like Gideon and stick our butt in God's face. Verse 29, come on Tuesday morning. But he wanted to justify himself. I'm smarter than you are, teacher. I'm the expert in the law. You're not telling me that I'm right. I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Ooh, there you go. Dude's phony, right? Phony. Verse 25 says he wants to test. When Jesus messed up the plan, he wanted to justify himself. Right? So in verse 29, he throws his big butt into it. And we're so good at that, right? This is a lawyer looking for the loophole, right? Now, good lawyers do it, and I don't blame them. That's the whole point of being a lawyer. I assume you look for that loophole, right? That's what you want to go for. You want to look for that loophole. Thank goodness we do not do that with God when he tells us to do something. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're like us at our house, the other day we walked out of our house, the four of us, and Ian goes, what is that smell? Something's on fire. And I looked at Ian and I said, oh, you've never been to college before? That's weed. And our neighbors were sitting in the driveway smoking weed so much that we couldn't breathe walking out of our house. I do not want to love those people. This is so racist. When they're playing their rap music so loud that I cannot hear my TV in my living room, I want to take my 7.1 surround sound out into the yard, point it at their house, and play country music as loud as I possibly can. Do it. I want my loophole, Jesus. Bunch of weed smoking dudes. I want you to love your neighbor. But Jesus, you don't understand. I can't hear my TV. Love your neighbor. I'm half tempted to bake him brownies and take it over and say, just guess. Right? just guess. We do it all the time looking for loopholes. Love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus, you don't understand. We try to prove to God that he doesn't understand, and we throw the loophole at him, right? So here we go. Let's continue the story. There's a price to be paid. I am going to read this story as the people that were sitting in the cartoon would have heard it. Because this story is racist to the core. Now, we throw those terms around like crazy right now. Homophobic and racist and all that other stuff. Just, you know, I cracked up at my son because he responded to a post on Facebook the other day and he said, I had to look up some of the terms you were using because I don't know what they are. Right? It's a new world. This is racist to the core. Verse 30, in reply, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. It's like being in Middle Point. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, shush it, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and the people sitting in the crowd went, Pastor Dave's got this. If anybody's going to stop and help this dude, it's Pastor. They're Jews. That's top of the food chain, right? Man, this priest is going to help. We know the story. What'd the priest do? Other side of the road. And the people sitting there had to be going, what kind of story is this? Right? What do you mean Spider-Man didn't help? All right? So, verse 32. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Got this one, right? people in the crowd are like, oh, okay, I see what his story is. It's not just the big guys, it's the assistants, it's the helpers, it's the ministry team leaders. It's, yeah, they're going to help. We know the story, right? Did they help? Jesus is about to tell us. He point to this story. Verse 33. But a Samaritan. I'll never forget the day it dawned on me when I was reading the story of the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. And Jesus wants to go home, and he decides to go through the wrong part of town. And he decides to loop into Samaria. And the disciples are like, we're going to go buy groceries. They did not want to be seen in Samaria. Anybody know why? Racist to the core. Samaritans are half Jew and half whatever else. They're biracial. But they're half Jewish, half Gentile, and the church took the Old Testament law and said, you're not welcome. You're not welcome. So the Samaritan said, you know what? We're going to take the first five books of the Bible, and those are ours. That's ours. And we're going to say where Abraham was and where the ark landed, and all, right? And this is where we worship God. They hated each other. All because of race. All because of it. I told this story in Kentucky one time and replaced the word Samaritan. I would get fired today. Probably should have then. Replaced the word Samaritan with the N-word. Because in Kentucky, if you were black and you walked into even my church, I used to have to fight behind the scenes. Because the leadership, the congregation would say, he doesn't belong here. I had that happen just because he's black. A Samaritan. Now they know where this story's going now. If anybody is either going to go to the other side of the road as far as he possibly can, or even beat the guy up more, it's the Samaritan. Came where the man was in verse 33, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Churchy people, other side of the road. The bad guy, quote unquote, took pity on him. Went and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. That sounds gross. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn. I love these next words. And did what? Took care of him. Why didn't he just blame the guy? Well, that's what you get for walking in Middle Point. That's what you get for being there. Right? You deserved it. That's what we do today. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn, took care of him. I love that. Verse 35, the next day he took out two denarii, I don't know what that is, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I come back, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense. He paid the price. Paid the price. The evil half-breed biracial heathen paid the price. I texted Andy Landon this week up in Toledo working with Water for Ishmael, and I said, hey man, I'm just praying for you. No need to respond. Have you been up there yet? Getting to interact with them? I like to think that I'm not a racist person. When I'm standing in a room full of Muslim people that worship Allah, and I can't get 9/11 out of my brain, and these people are working to become citizens and learn trades and learn the English language and integrate into the American culture, there is a part of me that goes, ah! Do you know why? holy buckets. That's racist. That's assuming something on an entire race of people because of a few people. Right? I have to pray real hard when I'm in those situations. I said, Andy, I am just praying for you because he's on the front lines of that. This Samaritan, this dude is willing to pay the price. Are we, as a church, are we willing to pay a price, take pity on someone, some group of people, and go, I don't care if they think I'm the worst person in the world. I'm going to help. I'm going to help. How many hurting, broken people will we be passing by today? How many hurting, broken people are sitting right where you're sitting now? And when I say sitting where you're sitting now, you're the hurting, broken person. And you're in this group of people going, what can we do to help them heal, feel safe, and check up on them again? Heal, feel safe, and check up on them again. So we close it out, verse 36. Which of these three, Jesus says, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Set him up! Set up this Jewish lawyer who knew the church law inside and out, who had already said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, who did the right thing. And he says the Samaritan, doesn't he? He does not. Racist to the core guy, can't even say the S word. He can't even say the Samaritan. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus told him, and here's the annoying part, I wish he had left this story alone. Because then he throws me into the story. Go, I got you, Grandma. Go and do likewise. Right? Go and do likewise. Grandma can't hear. Go and do likewise. Is that what we're going to do today? Oh, I do not want to go across that street when they're partying. I just don't. Go, thank you, Ramon. We've been over there together, haven't we? It's because Ramon likes to party. I just do not want to go over there. But I'm telling you guys, God is calling me to go, but I don't want to. Right? Go and do likewise. The Samaritan paid the price. Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, didn't he? We're the hurting. We're the broken. We're the shattered. We are nothing without him. People have abandoned us. We have abandoned ourselves. And then Jesus comes along and says, I got your sins. I'll pay the price. Not only will I pay the price on the cross, I'm going to come back and check on you. The Holy Spirit's going to come. The Comforter is going to come. He's going to make sure you're safe, that you're taken care of. He's going to check up on you. That's communion, guys. Let's celebrate communion this morning. The sacrifice that Jesus made to pay the price for us, him dying on a cross. Let's thank him for it. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you not only for the story of the Good Samaritan, but the story that is so real that you paid the price for us. You, in a sense, were the Samaritan that came along when there was no hope, no help, and you came along, bandaged us up. You took our wounds, our hurts, our pain, and died on the cross. We thank you for your broken body, for that blood that just came out, that represents the price, the wage of sin. Thank you, God, that through your death, we can have life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains, and my orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my fear rose again. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Released from my chain, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, his grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. A savior displayed on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. I'm going to have you go ahead and stand up now. Let's stand up, and I really want to hear you sing this out, because we have our freedom in Jesus Christ, because he paid it all. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. It's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, his grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. And we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began, when death was arrested and my life began, that's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, Holy Father, we thank you so much that you chose death so that we could have life. We just praise you for that. We pray that we're able to go out this week and embrace what we heard today in Scripture. Father, lead us to those who we would never have dreamed about going to before, because that's what you're calling us to do. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, and amen.